Slow Democracy is a new book that chronicles the ways in which ordinary people have mobilized to find local solutions to local problems. It invites us to bring the advantages of slow to our community decision-making. Just as slow food encourages chefs and eaters to become more intimately involved with the production of local food, slow democracy encourages us to govern ourselves locally with processes that are inclusive, deliberative, and citizen-powered. Susan Clark joins us to show the range of ways that communities are breathing new life into democracy around the country. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Susan Clark to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Again, the name of the book is Slow Democracy, Rediscovering Community, Bringing Decision-Making Back Home. So in a nutshell, how does this differ to what we have right now?
I think one of the points of the book is to show that we do have this right now, but it's a little bit invisible. It's a little under the radar. many of us, when we think of democracy, we think of what we see at the national level. And unfortunately, many of us are pretty turned off by what we see. It's very divisive. It's very sort of polarized. You know, you have to pick one side or the other. There's very little sort of deliberation and solution creating. You know, we see a lot of fighting. But we know when we get together with our neighbors to, you know, whatever it is, to solve a problem, to build a bridge, to build a school, we do some arguing. But we also know that we're looking for real-world solutions to real-world problems. So slow democracy is a way of stepping back and saying, let's look at the value of those conversations.
The value of those conversations is really the key, and actually having the conversation, right? Sitting down and actually having the conversation and knowing that it means something.
Absolutely, yeah. So just as slow food, you know, the slow food movement says, you know, we should really understand where our food comes from and recognize our, you know, connection to agriculture. The same way, in slow democracy, we're arguing we need to reconnect with our decision-making and we'll make better informed, more sustainable decisions. You know, too much of democracy is centralized. You know, many of our policies are even privatized and overprocessed to kind of remind us of fast food in a way that we end up just having to choose between, you know, chocolate and vanilla without really any real impact of those policies being seen locally.
And power and money don't necessarily get into this conversation in the sense that we have a national platform where a candidate is going out and saying that much of the burden of these decisions should be made on the state level as opposed to the federal level, taking that power away from the federal government and making that smaller and giving it to the state and local governments. But that's different than what you're talking about.
There's a relationship there. There's certainly a relationship with power. Over the history of the United States, we have moved much of our power, centralized much of our citizen power toward the state and national levels. And some of that has been necessary and good, you know, in things like civil rights, for example, or some of our environmental policies. We can't make those decisions, you know, town by town. With that sort of rise of the expert that we've seen historically, has come, I think, sort of a lessening of our confidence in ourselves as citizens, and it's resulted in a very anemic democratic citizenry. We are not as confident in ourselves. If we're going to be coming up with better answers, we need to have some of that power at the local level.
So how do we do that?
Well, a good example is Portsmouth, New Hampshire, is a wonderful example of a town that was making a decision in its about school consolidation, it was a very, very polarized issue, really divided the town, and they were stuck for 10 years on that. But they ended up using a process called study circles, which is put out by Everyday Democracy. Group that is a very much of a slow democracy kind of group, inclusive, deliberative, and empowered. And using that technique, they used community organizing to get a lot of people involved and then had a series of meetings that were in small groups. And people are much more engaged at that in that small group level. But the decisions that the small groups made fed into the school board's final decision about the redistricting. And it just made a huge impact on the way the solution came together, the content of the solution, as well as how it was received by people. So it was very, very popular, and now Portsmouth uses study circles for many, many of its decisions. This is the kind of power that we have already at the local level, but by engaging citizens in it, we see a real shift in what happens to us as citizens.
The name of the book is Slow Democracy, Rediscovering Community, Bringing Decision-Making Back Home, and is published by Chelsea Green. Susan Clark, I thank you very much for your eloquence on this issue and for joining us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. Again, the name of the book is Slow Democracy, published by Chelsea Green. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.